Welcome to Morning Living on Martha Stewart Living Radio.
Hey there, 35 after the top of the hour. I hope you're ready to get to your entertaining calendar.
Mm-hmm.
We are,
yeah.
and we actually are. And we're doing it with Dan Amatuzzi, who's the founder of WineForTheStudent.com, but also beverage director of Italy, to give a tutorial on a progression of wines you could prepare for your holiday table, even if the table, as ours does right now, is only having cheese.
Mm.
Because I think there's nothing better than just picking a course
and
focusing on that. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good morning.
I mean, we don't just like you because you brought the wine, even though it's dark on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
We like you because you're going to educate us.
Yeah.
And you're like, can't just have wine. We have to have something to eat, too.
Yeah, you need something in your stomach to help it all come together.
But this is a quick way to have a party. If you're kind of pulling something together last minute, think about it. If you get wine and you get cheese,
yes,
bread and crackers,
you've got a party.
You've got a party, and you've spent maybe an hour or so planning.
Right. There's a sea of wine out there available.
I think that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Where
I mean,
do we begin?
That's the challenge, in that it's a sea.
And there's also a plethora of cheese as well. So
yes.
I consider that a good problem.
That's absolutely.
But even so, many of us end up buying our wine and our cheese without too much assistance at the counter.
Right.
Either because it's not available, it's very busy this time of year,
right,
or because there's so much selection. Not everyone can have eaten 60 cheeses or tried hundreds of wines.
This is true.
I ran into this in my local store right before our Thanksgiving party.
Trying to decide what wine to get? Or
I wanted something a little bit different, and I think they'd already done that class of, here's what you can pair for Thanksgiving. And I said, I immediately didn't want those. You know, I want something else. It's a challenge.
So what do we start with? I mean, do we start with a white or a red, or like in that category, or a year, a region, what we're eating?
Normally you would want to go light to full, but the good thing about wine and cheese is that since they kind of act together, if you start with a red wine and then you move into like a creamy soft cheese with a white, the intensity of the creaminess of the cheese kind of cleans your palate from the cheese and wine before. So you can actually go back and forth, up and down, left and right, whatever you want to do.
So it will matter less if we have something kind of creamy and rich to break it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, normally like if you're pairing foods and wines for a long dinner, usually it goes light to full. But with the cheeses, there's so much versatility and so much intensity, so much structure that you can go back and forth. So.
And as long as you're not dairy intolerant, honestly, there is nothing more delicious than cheese. I mean, the variety, the flavors.
It is just.
So why don't you tell us what you brought, and you can go in any order you would like.
Cool. We are going to start with the white, actually, and start with the Kunig cheese. So the Kunig is that soft, bloomy rind cheese, that round.
Yes.
There you go. So upstate New York, goat's milk cheese with Jersey cow cream. Mm. So it's very soft,
it
very creamy.
Good.
And what you should be looking for is like soft, mild, but not too intense, not too stinky, not too aromatic.
Yeah, it is mild, but it's tasty.
Very tasty.
Tastes a little like butter.
Yeah, yeah. They use Jersey cow cream, and so what you're looking for is just medium intensity, not too rich. And so with that, we're pairing with the white wine. The producer is called Girard from California, and they've been around for about 30-35 years. Marco DiGiulio is the winemaker, born in San Francisco, worked in California his whole life. Mm. And so it's a great wine, Chardonnay, but it comes from the Russian River Valley, which is a little bit farther northwest of where the winery is located. So they own those vineyards. Chardonnay is what they call a cool climate grape. Basically, it means it grows well in cooler climates. So in Napa, they specialize in red wines. They make Cabernet Petit Sirah. But this is their Chardonnay, so it's medium body, not this overly oaky
it's
style.
It's sweet, though. It's got a little sweetness to it.
It's fruit-forward, and so the sugar, the fruitiness in the wine kind of helps counterbalance the lactic properties of the cheese.
Do you like this wine, Brian?
I do, because it's sweet. But not like sweet wine. I mean, it's just...
No, I think... Has Chardonnay changed pretty dramatically in the past 10, 15 years? Because the older Chardonnays were more buttery, and this one you taste more fruit.
Yeah, I mean, Chardonnay, it's a great grape. And the reason why it grows everywhere is because it's not like it's easy to grow, but it's easier to grow than many other grapes. So that's why you see it in Australia, South Africa, South America, California. And for a while, it was being vinified into this really rich, creamy, full-bodied style. And that's where the ratings were going. That's where the critics wanted. But, you know, things change. People's tastes change. And so they're starting to scale back on the oak. give it more of a representation of the fruit of Chardonnay, that apple, pear, herby.
It doesn't introduce that oak flavor into it, into the barrel, and when it's in the barrels? You
yeah,
know?
Well, they can use different size barrels. They can use older barrels. And the larger they are and the older they are, the less influence the oak has on the finished wine.
Do you think now this style of Chardonnay is easier to pair with food?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes those big oaky brooding wines, all you could really do was give it like a full entree, be it, you know, meat or chicken, but it had to be something big. The secret to food and wine, whether it's cheese or anything, is just the weight of the food and the weight of the wine. Meaning, if it's a light dish, you just want to go with a lighter wine, be it white or red or sparkling.
You don't want to counteract.
This is like medium. The cheese feel like medium and then medium wine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the idea. And obviously, people's tastes are different, so you can't always make everybody happy. And, you know, some people may think a medium wine is actually a full-bodied wine. But that's the beauty of food and wine. It creates a dialogue, creates a discussion. So
if we wanted to go in and find a Chardonnay like this one, where there's a fruit, or, you know, Brian says it's sweeter. I don't, you know, that sweet gets such a bad rap.
It's not
dry. Do you know what I mean? Like a dry wine makes your palate feel dry. Mm-hmm. This is the opposite of that.
Yeah, sweet's a tough one. You know, when we say sweet, you're thinking maybe dessert wine. But something we like to use in the industry, we would say fruit forward.
Fruit forward.
If you want a fruit forward Chardonnay with less focus on oak and butter and creaminess, that is what you say to your local vendor?
Yeah. See, I like Chardonnay, but I don't want something too big and rich and creamy and oaky. Something just a little more moderate, a little more meat-bodied.
Mm. And a little more fruit forward.
Fruit forward.
Where shall we go next in the wine world?
We're going to go actually to the harder cheese, the Brucciac, which is that cheese with
the
darker
outside
rind.
On the cheese.
It's a funky looking outside. And this is the wine lover's cheese. So it's northern Italy from the northwest. It's called Brucciac, and it's a cow's milk cheese. And that funky little rind on the outside are grape musts.
Oh,
so
really?
After they make the cheese,
is that why it's a wine lover's cheese?
It's washed in wine and grape musts from the grape called Barbera, which is one of their main grapes in Piedmont. So this is a style of cheese called Ubriaco.
It's a distinct flavor.
Ubriaco means...
What kind of cheese? Is this sheep?
Cow's milk cheese.
Cow's milk?
And Ubriaco means drunk. So it's kind of like drunken cheese. And they do it in France and Italy. And they wash the rinds of the cheese in alcohol. So in the Northeast, they do it with Prosecco. In the Northwest, they always do it with the local wine. And so it's more of a novelty, but you can see that beautiful rind. It does add sometimes like a little tangy quality, a little more
tangy,
of a,
yeah, it's just,
an underlying citrusy note. You're like, is this cheese or is this kind of like some kind of weird
it's good.
Like hybrid?
I like that.
It's delicious cheese.
And that's being paired with?
Wait, so is it being paired with the same type of wine in which it's...
It's another red wine. No, yeah. Well, yeah, if you want to do like a totally like regional pairing, you would do this cheese with like a wine from the same area. And then if you close your eyes, you drink enough, eat enough, you actually will wake up in this
area. In there.
Oh.
That's the secret.
You don't even need to click your heels. Fantastic.
No.
It's cheaper than flying.
You just need to raise the glass. That's the new thing. Mm. But with this particular wine, we're going to Argentina. We're going to way south in Argentina in the Patagonia region. So Malbec has kind of become the grape of Argentina, but Argentina's big. It's a big country. So you get many different styles. And so this comes from the farther south, cooler climate. So again, the wine isn't as big and rich as some Malbecs tend to be. But what we get is you get the tannin profile of a red wine. So tannin comes from the skins, the seeds, and the grapes, the pits of grapes. But it gives red wine that chew, that kind of structure.
Yeah.
But the tannin in red wine is the perfect balance for the lactic properties of cheese because they kind of help cut away at each other.
So do you feel like, you know, people, we recently learned that Merlot is way more popular than the movie suggested. That in fact, it bumped sales of Merlot. Do you feel like people who like Merlot would like this because it's Merlot with an edge?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it.
Because Merlot is very, you know, it's very round.
Yeah, a lot of times it's soft, round, smooth.
And this is round, and then like at the end, it's like, oh, it's not as round as I thought.
Exactly. And that, again, that's like this bittering dry finish between your cheek and your gum. Mm-hmm. And that in its purest form is tannin. And so this is a good expression of Argentinian Malbec. The producer is Ruta 22. And the producer, again, it's just a nice, well-rounded, but very perfumed, very aromatic style of Malbec. Sometimes these nice lighter wines, again, it's like medium-bodied. You can kind of see through it if you hold up to a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
But again, it's not like dark as the night, and it's also not as light as well. So it's a perfect middle-of-the-road, but good fruit forward. You get that black licorice, kind of toffee note, but more airing towards the sides of black plums. Black
and
cherries.
We're talking about wines that are very friendly for the wallet.
Yeah, affordable. I mean,
you don't have to spend $100 to get a good bottle of wine.
No.
We have a lot of wine in the continent.
Yeah. I mean, this retails for around $13, $14. The first wine is just over $20.
That's a nice holiday gift.
That's a perfect
gift.
It is.
It's good. I mean, there's a lot of wine. There's about 35 billion bottles of wine out there.
Billion.
Every year. There's enough wine to make 35
That's
billion.
Why we have so many problems trying to choose it.
Yeah.
That's why you got your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thankfully,
thankfully, I have a job because there's so much to choose from. But, yeah, I mean, the best way to start is just maybe pick a grape that you like or that you've had in the past you like and just explore that. Because grapes like Malbec, they grow on all continents. So you can see different expressions. Maybe only like one country's expression of that grape. If that's the case, then stay in that country and then try other grapes and other wines. And just try to focus on what you like. And sometimes knowing what you don't like is actually easier than what you do like.
Now, last but not least, you brought a little sparkling wine.
Yeah, we're going to go back to sparkling, and we're going to take this with the Gorgonzola Crema Ficata. So Gorgonzola is a famous cheese from northern Italy. It's the blue-veined cheese mold. They infect it with mold purposely, intentionally, like all cheeses, but this is a very pronounced, very intense style of cheese. And almost medicinal in quality because it has this penicillin note to it.
So it's like getting a vaccine.
Yeah.
Filling yourself up and having a great glass of wine on the side.
It's healthy, yeah.
All right.
And since it's so intense, so creamy, it's kind of like fire with fire. So we're going to the northeast Italy called...
Holy mackerel.
The wine is Prosecco. So Prosecco is kind of a popular sparkling wine. The grape's called Prosecco, and it comes from northeastern Italy. But what you're looking for here is... Since the cheese is like this really gelatinous, really creamy, intense, the effervescence and the carbonation of the wine kind of helps clean up your palate and is like kind of, again, the counterbalancing agent to the intensity of the cheese.
Mm. I'm seriously running out for a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't.
I did not bring the bread nor the crackers. I apologize.
No,
I mean, we don't
need
it, but that cheese is like...
That exactly. Screams
it's begging for a platform.
Exactly. Mm. And you can't like... The good thing is that's a hunk of cheese. That's a big block of cheese. And a block like that, like, is good for, like, 15, 20 people because, again, it's not something you can, like, just, like, get your mouth into and work it down. Like, you're like,
nor should you.
Taste and then move on. Yeah.
Right.
This is where the cardiac properties of the wine can help you out.
Mm-hmm.
This Prosecco also tastes very fruit forward. I don't want to say sweet, but it actually is, I think it's probably of the wines we tried, the sweetest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case for Prosecco.
It's not. Again, it depends on how they make it. But the grape itself, there's over like 15,000 different grape varieties as we know it. And some are actually naturally high in sugar. Some are higher in acids, just like people have different characteristics. So Prosecco generally has these fruit-forward tendencies like peaches and pears and this really rich bouquet. So even though the wine is dry, chemically speaking, I mean, there's no residual sugar in the wine. Just the aromas and the flavors that it gives off tend to be a little more fruit forward.
Now, is there more than one type of grape used for Prosecco?
No, the grape is called Prosecco.
Just Prosecco.
Just Prosecco. Yeah.
Because like champagne.
Exactly.
Has three.
Yeah.
It can be three. It's not always three.
Yeah.
That's going to be on the quiz tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, the grape's called Prosecco, and it's a fun, kind of a flirty, easygoing wine. It's great for making cocktails like the classic Bellini. It's also just good as in this case because we're using it as more of this palate cleanser, the effervescence and the acidity. It's just more like a mouth cleanser. It stimulates your appetite. That acidity kind of makes you salivate and gets you going. So it's always a nice way to start or also finish.
Finish, yeah.
But
and
also
you have
finish.
Now proven you can finish by going to your lightest wine.
Exactly. And when you finish with a sparkling wine too, it's always nice because you're kind of brings you back on your feet. So if you have to drive home or walk home or you got a long
wind
ahead of you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good, like port, Madeira, and sherry, and all these fortified wines. They're actually good for Gorgonzola as well because they have this sweet, the sugary, the residual sugar is a perfect polar opposite to the moldy character of the cheese. But in this case, the fruitiness takes care of that component, but it also kind of rejuvenates you.
Now, typically, the Prosecco is lower alcohol level?
Not necessarily. Oh. They're usually between like 12 and 14.
Oh, that's not lower.
Yeah.
That's the same.
Yeah.
Take care. Yeah. Drink responsibly.
But this is a great producer, Serafini Vidotto. Winemaker's Francesco Serafini, and they make whites and reds, and they specialize in Prosecco as well.
Excellent. They're all delicious, and they give a good benchmark on what you can look for in your area.
Yeah.
And the vocabulary, because I think that's sometimes the toughest thing for us.
But yeah, I mean, this is the season. Obviously, there's a lot of gift giving, and if you need to buy a bottle of wine for a friend or for your boss.
What's the name of the Prosecco again? I think that's really a great gift, especially for the new year.
The producer is called Serafini e Vidotto, and those are the last two names of the gentlemen who own and operate the winery.
Cool.
Excellent. Love it. Oh, I'm so glad you dropped by, both with the cheese and the wine.
Mm. Pleasure.
Because it was like
wine.
Having a party in a very short period of time. Dan Amatuzzi is the founder of WineForTheStudent.com and beverage director of Italy, which is a fabulous destination to visit when you're in New York. Because you can eat there and you can shop.
Mm-hmm.
Does it get any better than that? I don't think so.
It's a dangerous combination for many, but it works.
Been there, done that. Probably we'll see you next week.
Cool.
And yes, we have your dish of the day coming up, so don't go anywhere. It's Morning Living, Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius XM 110.